I'm Laura Murphy Oates, and this is The Full Story. Last week, an amendment to our migration law that could radically change the lives of many refugees and asylum seekers quietly passed through Parliament. This new law allows the government to detain refugees who've had their visa cancelled on character grounds, potentially for the rest of their lives. It also gives the Immigration Minister new power to revoke a person's refugee status. The government says that these powers will give the minister greater oversight to protect human rights. But human rights advocates are concerned that this breaches international law. Today, the government's new powers to indefinitely detain refugees. It's Wednesday, the 19th of May. So, Ben, can you tell me about the person at the centre of this story?
The person at the centre of the story is a man called AJL20. He's been given those names in court documents, AJL20.
Ben Doherty is immigration correspondent for Guardian Australia.
He is a Syrian refugee who came to Australia as a child. He had came with his family when he was a child via Lebanon. Several years after that, when he was still a teenager, he committed a crime and was jailed for that crime. He caused an injury to somebody else. We don't know a great deal about the specifics of that, but he served that time in jail. And at the end of that, the Australian government cancelled his visa.
Under what grounds did they cancel his visa?
The Minister for Immigration has extraordinarily broad powers and essentially unchallengeable powers to cancel the visa of a person in Australia on what's called character grounds. Now, this can be around a criminal conviction, this can be around an adverse security assessment from a security agency, but it can even be a thing like an association with a group that the minister believes is engaged in criminal behaviour. So there doesn't even need to be a criminal conviction here. These are quite extraordinary powers, and this is what AJL20 found himself beholden to when the Australian government decided to tear up his visa.
Yeah, we spoke to you about these laws on the podcast recently and how a lot of New Zealand citizens were being deported and that was having a dramatic effect on their lives. In this case, the case of AJL20, what did this visa cancellation mean for him?
AJL20 had his visa torn up by the Australian government and he was taken into immigration detention in 2014. He stayed there until last year.
That's 6 years overall in immigration detention. What happened in that time, Ben?
This is a young man trying to find a way simply to be at liberty again. He applies to the Australian government for protection to say, I am someone you cannot return to Syria, a country that's descended into civil war. Not a safe place for someone to be returned to, especially someone who'd left that country as a child for fear of persecution. There is no way that Australia can legally send someone back to that situation.
What do you mean? What is preventing us from deporting him?
Australia has what's called non-refoulement obligations. Australia's not allowed to send someone back to a country where they know they will face harm. And now this is enshrined in domestic law in Australia, but it's also part of the Refugees Convention. It's essentially the fundamental premise of international refugee law is you cannot, as a country, you cannot send a person back to a place where you know they will face harm, where they'll face persecution.
Right, so under our international obligations, AJL20 as a citizen of Syria cannot be sent back. Does the government agree with that, that they have an obligation to protect him?
Australia agrees and says that he's someone it needs to protect in 2017. He applies for a visa, the Australian government refuses it. This back and forth, this very legalistic, very slow process goes on and he's in detention for 6 years. The Australian government doesn't want to give him a visa to allow him to live in the Australian community. It cannot send him back to Syria, and so he's stuck, potentially indefinitely.
So Australia doesn't want to release him into the community because he's committed a crime, but they can't send him back to his home country. Is it legal to hold someone like this for such a long period of time?
That's the critical question in this case. There's a lawyer in Sydney, Alison Battison, who runs an organisation called Human Rights for All. She works on a great many of these cases, and she took on AJL 20. That case was brought last year, and they argued before the federal court that AJL 20's detention by the Commonwealth since the 26th of July 2019 had been unlawful.
Why 26th of July, and what is their overall argument that they presented to the federal court about his detention being unlawful?
Well, that's when the government just denied him a visa and said he wouldn't be being released into the Australian community. So the argument was that under law, AJL 20 could only be held for a purpose, but there was no purpose to his detention. He was simply being detained for the sake of being detained. The Australian government is allowed to detain someone who they intend to remove from the country, but by law, they're supposed to remove that person from Australia, in the words of the legislation, as soon as reasonably practicable. In this case, they didn't, and nor did they try.
So they argue that AJL 20's detention is only legal if the government is actively working towards deporting him. What is the government's response to that?
The Commonwealth rejected that argument, saying that detention was lawful until they were able to remove this person from Australia.
Okay, so what happened with this court case?
So in September last year, the court decided against the government, ruling that immigration detention must be for a purpose, essentially either considering a visa grant or removal from the country. And they ordered AJL 20 released. He was freed a matter of hours after the court handed down its decision.
Do you know what kind of impact that had on him after so many years in detention?
This was a joyous moment for this young man who'd been in immigration detention for 6 years, in prison for 3 years before that, essentially been a decade of his life that he hadn't been allowed to live in the community. And being free was all of a sudden a huge weight off his shoulders. However, the government has appealed that decision to the High Court, and that could see AJL 20 return to detention.
Regardless, this ruling is quite significant, saying that the government cannot hold people for no reason in immigration detention.
This is a hugely significant judgment. This case hinged on whether the Australian government was allowed to indefinitely detain people. And this is something that we're seeing increasingly in the Australian immigration detention system, people being held for longer and longer and significant numbers of people being held indefinitely for an open-ended period of time. This is the court saying you cannot do that. There must be a purpose to this detention. There must be an end to this detention.
How has the government responded to losing this court case, other than the appeal?
Well, at the time of the verdict, the government said, look, we're not commenting on this case while it's being appealed. It's before the courts. But what they did do was quietly start work on a new law. And the first that a lot of people heard of this was when this new law was tabled in Parliament in March, on the last sitting day of the March session of Parliament.
Tell me about this refugee bill.
It's called the Migration Amendment, Clarifying International Obligations for Removal Bill 2021. It's a mouthful of a piece of legislation, but essentially this law allows for the government, where it's cancelled the visa of refugee but can't send them back to their country of origin because they would face persecution there, to detain them indefinitely. The new law also gives the immigration minister a broad and unchallengeable power to withdraw a person's refugee status recognition, essentially declaring they can be returned to the country they fled.
What do you mean by that, withdrawing someone's refugee status? What would that involve?
Look, it's really not clear because this is not something that's done in international law. The way refugee status recognition works is that a country will recognise that a person is owed protection and then they're given that protection forever. That protection is permanent. People are able to restart their lives in their new country knowing that the protection they've been offered, they're not going to be sent back to the country they've fled. Australia, a couple of decades ago, introduced temporary protection visas where people had to sort of resubmit their application and re-demonstrate their refugee status, essentially. This is further, I suppose, undermining the security of refugee protection by making it possible for the immigration minister to decide that someone's refugee protection is no longer valid. They're not entitled to it anymore.
I mean, it feels like that's kind of the whole point of having the status of refugee, that it's this internationally agreed upon thing that countries abide by.
And that it's secure.
Right. So to summarise, the government in AJL 20's case had two issues. They can't detain people indefinitely and they can't send somebody back to a place where they will be in danger. Does this bill mean that they can do both of those things?
In lots of ways it does. And this is, I suppose, the handy thing about being the government is you can write new laws.
How has the government justified this? What have they said about the need for a bill like this?
The government's argument from the Immigration Minister, Alex Hawke.
The implications, the reason we're doing this is because of a series of court decisions and the interaction with the Migration Act and consequences.
Argued the legislation was designed to strengthen Australian safeguards on non-refoulement, this idea that you can't send someone back to danger to a home country where they might face persecution.
But I can absolutely say to him, if we were to follow the intended outcome of those court decisions, Australia would be in breach of its international obligations by being forced to refoul people, and that's why we are here.
Oh.
His argument was that there was previous parts of legislation that appeared to open the door for people to be sent back. The government's argument was that this was largely administrative and largely to sort of bring Australia's legislation into line with its international obligations.
And does that argument stand up? I mean, from what you've said, it sounds like this bill does the opposite of that.
This bill doesn't do what the government says it does. Australia's obligation to observe non-refoulement obligations remains unaltered. It's a matter of domestic law, it's a matter of international law that Australia is not allowed to return a person to a place where it knows they will face harm. So the government's argument here is not strong.
So what happened with this bill?
The bill had gone before the government-controlled Joint Parliamentary Committee on Human Rights. And just a few weeks ago, they published a report where they raised serious concerns about this law. They argued it presented, in the committee's words, a real risk that detention may become indefinite and may also have implications for Australia's obligation not to subject any person to torture or to cruel, inhuman or degrading treatment or punishment. And they have a point. Indefinite detention is considered arbitrary and therefore unlawful under international human rights law.
So some really serious concerns raised about the bill there. What happened from there?
Well, nothing, essentially. The committee asked for more information about the bill. That information was not forthcoming. Labor supported it.
Senator McKim.
Thank you, President.
The Green Senator Nick McKim spoke forcefully against the bill in the Senate.
Firstly, I just want colleagues to know that what we're all suffering under here is yet another dirty deal on refugees struck between the ALP and the LNP.
Independent MP Andrew Wilkie spoke against it in the House of Reps.
First and foremost, I disagree in principle with the whole idea of what would amount to indefinite mandatory detention. And I do want to put it on the public record, Deputy Speaker, that I strongly disagree with that as a matter of principle.
But apart from that, there was very little room, very little time, in fact, for any dissension.
Speaker, without further ado, I would commend these provisions. I do thank all their members for the thoughtful contributions and the opposition for the support for these bills. It is a good example of the Parliament coming together.
And it was passed into law last week.
Thank the Minister, and I will put the question that this bill be now read a second time. All those that opinion say aye, against no. The ayes have it, and I call on the clerk.
Next, how indefinite detention has become Australia's first resort. Has anyone raised the alarm since this became law about what this could mean?
There's been significant opposition to this new legislation. More than 30 legal academics and refugee law practitioners have signed a joint statement to government arguing the new law, in their words, increases the risk that refugees and others in need of protection will be detained indefinitely without adequate judicial review. And they argue this is contrary to international law and inconsistent with the practices of other democratic countries.
Mm-hmm.
David Burke, who's the legal director at the Human Rights Law Centre in Melbourne, said the new laws allow the Morrison government to warehouse people who have nowhere else to go. Burke argues the government should not have the power to lock people up for potentially the rest of their lives without any safeguards.
Mm.
This forces refugees into an unthinkable choice between spending potentially decades in immigration detention or agreeing to go back to a country where they will be persecuted.
I mean, what did you think of this law when you first saw it, Ben?
Look, it's not just troubling from a human rights perspective, but it's also troubling for Australia's democracy. The process is problematic here. What we're seeing is this continued practice of executive governments in Australia legislating their way around court decisions, particularly in the area of migration law. where a government's told by a court that what they're doing is illegal, rather than modify their behaviour, they simply write a new law that gives themselves permission to keep doing what they want. And Andrew Wilkie told the Parliament this was very poor practice. He said, whenever the federal court rules against the government just keeps changing the law until it finds a workaround for the federal court.
Looking ahead, could this new law or the appeal change the story for AJL 20?
Absolutely. AJL 20 now lives with a very real possibility of being re-detained depending on the High Court's decision and the implementation of this new legislation. This law was designed on the back of his case and it will affect him, but it will also potentially affect dozens, if not hundreds of others.
Do we have an exact figure on how many people will be immediately affected?
It's been mooted that this legislation could currently be applied to 21 refugees already in immigration detention who have either been convicted of an offence or received an adverse security assessment from ASIO, but the application is potentially far broader. And the very real application is that these people could be detained indefinitely.
So, Ben, from what you're saying, it sounds like many more refugees and asylum seekers could be locked up for longer periods of time because of this law. What do you make of this change?
I think this is part of a very worrying and very damaging trend. Mm. This is not accidental. This has not come about by coincidence. But what we are seeing is the increasing use of long-term, often indefinite mandatory detention. And it's become essentially Australia's first resort rather than its last.
Can you break that down? What do you mean?
Around the world, this is not how refugee protection is done. And historically, this is not how Australia treated refugees. Mandatory detention was introduced in Australia by a Labor government in 1992, and it was intended at that time only as an exception, a response to the arrival by boat of Indo-Chinese refugees seeking sanctuary from conflict in Southeast Asia. And detention then was strictly limited to 273 days for 9 months.
So that started in the 90s, but was limited at the time.
That's right, limited to 9 months. However, the time constraint was dropped in 1994, and since then, essentially, the use of mandatory detention, now unrestrained, has burgeoned ever since. In 2012, a person placed in immigration detention was held on average for less than 100 days, and fewer than 3% of people held in immigration detention had been there longer than 2 years. In January, that figure was 30%. And the average detention time is now 627 days, 20 months, the highest it's ever been. 106 people, about nearly 7% of the total detention population, have been held in immigration detention for longer than 5 years. I'm aware of several cases of people who've been held longer than a decade and with no end in sight for their ongoing detention.
Doing some quick maths on those figures, essentially we're holding people six times longer on average. It's hard to comprehend the damage that might be causing.
It's incredibly damaging for people to be held indefinitely. Decades of medical research across the world, including studies commissioned by the Australian government, have consistently warned the wearing uncertainty of indefinite detention is deeply damaging for those so held, particularly for young people, particularly for children, particularly for teenagers.
So, Ben, as we know, Australia's treatment of refugees has been criticised internationally about boat turnbacks, offshore processing, and now we have this further entrenchment of indefinite detention. Could this further damage our international reputation?
I think Australia's reputation is badly damaged and has been for a number of years, and this is a continuation of that. I think one of the great concerns is how quietly this happens. And it's no accident that immigration detention centres are often very remote, that they're very hard to get to. The process for visiting people is very hard and they're often people are kept deliberately distant. And Australia's just quietly kept detaining people longer and longer and longer. And it's not talked about. It's not discussed. It's this hidden incarceration that exists in this country. And there's very little attention on it. And I appreciate that immigration law is complex and there are difficult cases that the Australian government is presented with, and they are having to weigh obligations around protecting the Australian community and their international obligations around non-refoulement. But the idea that you can just warehouse people indefinitely in detention, you can just lock them up for as long as you need to, seems to me to be anathema to any democratic country, to any sound practice in a liberal democracy.
To learn more about this, you can read Ben Doherty's reporting at theguardian.com, and we've put some links to that on the full story page. including his opinion piece where he steps through some of this history of mandatory immigration detention in Australia and the way that our approach to it has really ramped up over time. It's definitely worth a read. That's it for today. This episode was produced by myself and Ellen Leibeater. The executive producers of Full Story are Miles Martignoni and Gabrielle Jackson. Okay, catch you tomorrow.